Good morning and welcome again to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast. We invite you to turn with us to Ephesians chapter 6, and we've been considering the armor of God on the program, and now we have arrived at the final component of that armor, and we'll begin reading again in Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 13 through verse 18. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So we've been going through this armor of God and seeing the necessity of us putting on the whole armor of God. As we went through that, we have seen six distinctive components of equipment that we have in that armor. The first being the belt or the girdle of truth, then the breastplate of righteousness, the boots of the gospel, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then we make our way to verse 18, which describes prayer. And we know in scripture that number 7 is a number of completion and perfection. So this morning we want to consider prayer as being the 7th aspect of that armor, even though it's not necessarily a piece of equipment that we put on. Because again, 7 is the number of biblical perfection and completion. And I believe this 7th aspect of the armor of God is arguably the most important in this warfare that we fight, in the spiritual warfare against Satan and against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. We fight this battle with a dependence upon our God, because it's through God that we have the ability to tear down strongholds in our life. It's through God that we have the ability to withstand the wiles of the devil. And what prayer is a communication channel to show our dependence upon Jesus as the captain of our salvation. Jesus is described as being the captain of our salvation. In Hebrews chapter 2 and in verse 10, we see also in Joshua chapter 5, as people of God are preparing to begin a siege of Jericho, we see Joshua interacting with the man who introduces himself as the captain of the Lord's host. You see, Jesus Christ is the captain of our salvation. And communication, as in any area of life, but especially communication in the army and communication on the battlefield, is vitally important for success in a battle. You know, we've been considering the Roman soldier throughout this context. So this example is a little bit more modern than the Roman soldier. But think about some of the movies you've maybe seen, or a documentary of something like World War II, where they're carrying around this phone, this mobile phone, and they call in to headquarters. They call in for reinforcements. They have communication with the headquarters. They have communication with the front lines, because if they're not properly communicating with the other members of that army, then they're going to be sitting ducks. They're going to be in trouble. And prayer is our line of communication. Prayer is our line of communication, not just with the captain of our salvation, but it's our prayer connection. It's our line of connection with the Holy Spirit that's supposed to be guiding the actions of the entire body, guiding the actions of the entire church in the body of Christ. So prayer is arguably the most important aspect of the armor of God, the mindset of prayer, a mindset of dependence upon God as the captain of our salvation, and a dependence upon Him, because it's only through God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5 that we've considered a lot during this series is the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. You see, we're strong in the Lord in the power of His might. And prayer is our petitioning a God that has no limitation of His power. Us petitioning a God that has no limitation of what He's able to do. You know, if there's a situation, if there's a warfare, a spiritual warfare that appears to be beyond what I can handle, you know, I've done all I can do in this situation, and there's just no hope. There's just no ability for me to improve this situation at all. You know, prayer doesn't need to be a last resort. It needs to be the first resort. We're told praying always. So that's something we should be praying all the time. We should be praying all the time, not just as a last resort. But we get to the end of our rope sometimes and we feel like that this is a situation that I can't handle, I can't fix, I can't remedy. So therefore, I'm going to hand it over to God and maybe He can do something with it. Maybe He can improve this situation or improve this relationship or improve this challenging difficulty that we're in. You see, prayer is our dependence upon God. It's our petition to the God that has no limitation of His power to strengthen us and enable us in the midst of this warfare. I want us to see how important prayer is in the life of a disciple. We see here that we need to be praying always. How often are you supposed to be praying? Well, this verse here tells us we need to be praying always. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse 17 is a very short, concise, three-word verse that you need to know. And that is to pray without ceasing. To pray without ceasing. And for the people of God, prayer needs to be continually on our lips. Prayer needs to be continually on our hearts. It's so vitally important in our warfare of faith for us to petition the Lord for strength and blessing and grace to fight acceptably, you know, because it's up to us to work hard and make good decisions and withstand the wiles of the devil and forsake all of these things in the world. It's up to us to make good decisions. But at the end of the day, we can't even take credit for that. We can't even take credit for our successes in this warfare. Instead, just like the Apostle Paul said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. But I'm labor more abundant than they all. You know, I did so much for the kingdom, but I didn't even do it. It was the grace of God that was in me, you see? So I can't do anything of myself. We need to be reminded of that. John chapter 15 and verse 5, there's nothing we can do by ourselves. Without me, without Christ, we can do nothing. So we're in total dependence upon God. So therefore, if we're in total dependence upon God, we need to be communicating with Him and beseeching His blessing in our life all the time, don't we? We need to be praying without ceasing. We need to be praying always, petitioning God to bless us in this warfare of faith, especially when the battle gets hot, especially when we're in challenging times. Consider this in Matthew chapter 26. They're in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus is about to be crucified the next day. And he goes into the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, and he tells the apostles to stay and watch. But then he comes back and he finds them asleep. Matthew chapter 26 and in verse 40. When he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, he said unto Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Notice verse 41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, if we are praying always, that means our spiritual senses are vigilant. Our spiritual senses are heightened. And we need to be watchful. We need to be vigilant. We need to have our head on a swivel because Satan is always trying to attack us at our flank, right? Satan is always trying to come at you from a way that you don't expect. And therefore, you need to be watchful. You need to be vigilant. You need to be looking in various directions and make sure that Satan doesn't sneak up on you. Watch. And what is the significant aspect of a watchful attitude? What is one of the significant actions of a watchful, vigilant mindset? Watch and pray, right? We need to be prayerful. We need to be praying unto God without ceasing. And we see here that prayer is one of the most effective defenses for the temptations of Satan. That's what we've been talking about. Right? We've been talking about an armor that protects us from the temptations of Satan, from the wiles of the devil. We've been talking about an armor that protects us from the attacks of Satan in our life. And what is one of the most important defenses that we have against the wiles of Satan? Well, Jesus tells us here it's prayer. Why? Because the second half of this verse, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, who did he tell this to? He told it to Peter, who Peter said, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. But then he said a little bit earlier, Lord, you're not going to go to the cross. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Jesus said to Peter that Satan was influencing his actions when he was trying to forbid him or hinder him from a commitment to going to the cross. Satan was influencing, tempting the actions of Peter. And Jesus says, get thee behind me, Satan. But Peter said, no, I'm going to go with you to death. I am with you to the end. And it is during that period of temptation that he succumbed to that. The spirit is willing. I'll tell you, Peter's spirit was zealous. Peter's spirit believed that he would never forsake the Lord. But when the going got tough and the heat got turned up, His flesh was weak. And we need to be reminded of how weak our flesh is. We need to be reminded of how dependent we are on the captain of our salvation, how dependent we are on Jesus for a successful fight of faith, for a successful warfare. The Spirit is willing. You know, we all have a desire to serve the Lord as children of God. The Spirit is willing, but our flesh is just so weak. And that's why we have to protect ourselves, isn't it? That's why we have to put on the armor of God. That's why we have to have this mindset, this attitude of prayer, is because our spirit's willing, but our flesh is just so pitiful. Our flesh is so weak. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Be vigilant for the temptations of Satan. And one of the best ways that you can beat back the temptations of Satan is by prayer. You know, we look at Matthew chapter 4, particularly regarding the sword of the Spirit, and Jesus combated those three temptations of Satan with Scripture, with the Word of God, with the sword of the Spirit. But then after Satan left off tempting him, it says that angels came and ministered to him. You know, one of the reasons that we pray is say, Lord, strengthen me. And I hope that you can be bold. You know, I've tried to be a little bit more bold in this. Lord, send some angels to strengthen me. Lord, send angels to encamp round about me and my family, my loved ones in our church. Lord, send angels when we are in a time of need. Because Jesus, as the Son of Man, had angels that came and ministered and served and strengthened him after temptation. And one of the best aspects of prayer is that we can call for reinforcements, right? We're on the front lines and we are in a challenging situation and we feel how weak our flesh is. And one of the best aspects of prayer is that we can pray to the captain of our salvation and say, Lord, send me some reinforcements. Lord, send me some angels to strengthen me. Send me by your providence some fellow believers to encourage me in the midst of this warfare. That's one of the best aspects of prayer, is we can petition and have communication with the headquarters to say, God, I stand in need right now. Lord, I'm in the midst of temptation and my flesh is weak. Lord, please send me angels to strengthen me. Send me fellow believers to strengthen me during this warfare. So we need to be watchful. We need to be prayerful so that we can withstand temptation. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. And we're also told not just to pray always, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So we pray always. We need to have a continual mindset of prayer and dependence upon God. But how do we pray? Man can't pray without the Spirit. You know, there are men that can utter words and say they're praying unto God, but a man can't truly pray. A man can't truly pray unto God without the Spirit, because God does not hear the prayer of the wicked. It's an abomination unto him. It doesn't matter the words that come out of his mouth. If his heart is not a redeemed, born-again heart, God does not receive that prayer. So the only way we can pray is by the Spirit, by God borning us again. And then we have an unction and an ability to pray unto God. But it's a great blessing for us to be reminded as we try to pray in the Spirit that the Spirit makes intercession for us when we can't articulate our prayers in the manner that we desire to. Romans chapter 8 and in verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You know, sometimes, especially when we're in the midst of temptation, you know, we can't really articulate what we need. You know, sometimes in a battle, the people on the front lines don't necessarily know what they stand in need of, but the general who's back at headquarters and knows the full scope of the entire warfare, he can have a better understanding to send appropriate reinforcements, to send for those frontline battle people exactly what they need at the right time. And sometimes when we're in the midst of warfare, we can't really articulate our desires, our needs, our burdens in the manner that we ought to. Sometimes we're just so burdened in the midst of temptation that all we can do is just come and cry before the Lord. You know, we can't talk, we can't speak, our heart is just heavy, and we just can't articulate the burdens of our heart verbally. But praise the Lord, the Holy Spirit takes that. The Holy Spirit takes that desire of the heart. The Holy Spirit takes our inward desires and it cleans it up and it presents it before God in an acceptable way according to the will of God. So we pray in the Spirit. And one of the reasons we pray in the Spirit is we say, Holy Spirit, please just take the groanings of my heart. Lord, take the burdens of my heart. And even if I can't verbally articulate them in the manner that I ought to, Lord, please take that and you clean it up. Lord, you present it in the best possible way to where it will be a sweet smelling fragrance. It will be an odor before the Lord that the prayers of the saints are described in the book of Revelation, that they come up before the Lord as a sweet smelling odor. And the only reason that they come before the Lord as a sweet smelling odor is because of the intercession of the Holy Spirit. Because of the intercession of Jesus Christ on our behalf as our intercessor, that the Spirit in Jesus takes the burdens of our heart and presents it before God in an acceptable way, according to the will of God. And even if we don't pray according to the will of God in the manner that we ought to, the Holy Spirit presents it before God according to the will of God. So that's why we need to pray, Lord, nevertheless not my will, but thine be done. Lord, nevertheless not my will, but thine be done. And the Holy Spirit will make intercession on our behalf according to the will of God. And you'll also notice the next aspect of the way in which we pray in this warfare, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto. Again, we're supposed to be watchful, vigilant, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So here we see that we need to persevere in prayer. And there's been a lot of confusion and turmoil among Primitive Baptists and other Reformed groups on the doctrine of perseverance. And depending on how you phrase that, I'll tell you, I do believe in perseverance. I don't believe that every child of God will persevere in works until the end of their life. The scriptures don't teach that, even though we ought to. We ought to persevere in works. Now, there are many historical writings that use this word to simply mean that we persevere in grace, in the sense that no one can ever lose their eternal life. You can't be born again one day and then not persevere in grace and lose the effect of the new birth in your heart. You're not going to lose the effects of regeneration. No, every child of God that's born again will persevere in grace, but you're not persevering by your works. You're persevering by the power of God. So we persevere in grace because God has put us in grace and he keeps us in grace. But what the scriptures don't teach is perseverance in works, that every child of God, a 100% certainty that every child of God will persevere and maintain some arbitrary level of faith and holiness till the end of their life. Now, children of God ought to persevere. You know, when I say that the scriptures don't teach perseverance, that doesn't mean that that's a license for us to not live godly. No, of course, every child of God should live godly. But to say that there is a 100% certainty that every child of God will persevere in works to some degree of faith and holiness, that everyone's going to meet this barometer, scripture just simply won't bear that out. But with that caveat, I want to tell you, I believe in perseverance. This is the only time in scripture that the word perseverance is found, and I believe in perseverance. I believe preservation is a better term to describe being preserved in grace and persevering in grace and not losing our eternal salvation. I believe preservation is a better term for that. But I absolutely believe in perseverance in prayer. And actually, if we just look at this one example where perseverance is used in Scripture, it should lead us to the conclusion that God is not 100% pre-programmed that every child of God is going to persevere in works. Why? Because he's given you an admonition to pray with all perseverance, which means what? That there's a possibility that you may not persevere in prayer. You know, the people that hold to perseverance say, well, it's not really you persevering, it's God persevering you. You know, it's not you doing it, it's God doing it. Well, we can't take credit for any of our good works. We know all the glory goes to God. But if God is 100% persevering you, then why is there an admonition for you to persevere in prayer? No, if God's persevering you, clearly God's going to persevere you in prayer. He's going to persevere you in every aspect of your life. No, just this one instance in Scripture where we find the word perseverance leads us to the conclusion that there is not 100% perseverance in works for all of God's children. Instead, he's admonishing those that have the ability to neglect their prayer life, right? We're told to pray without ceasing. We're told to pray always. But you know what? There's a possibility that we may not do that. And so he's saying, you need to persevere in prayer. You need to put your nose to the grindstone and make a commitment to pray always and persevere in prayer. Why? Because there's a possibility that you may not do it. There's a possibility that you may falter in your prayer life and not pray without ceasing as we ought to. to. So we believe in perseverance in prayer. And certainly we need to keep that commitment and diligence to pray unto the Lord. And notice the final phrase here in verse 18, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. For all saints. You know, we need to pray for our families. We need to pray for our local church body. But we need to be praying for the kingdom of God as a whole. We need to be praying for all the elect children of God everywhere in this world. And God has a people out of every nation, kindred, people, and tongue. People will never meet that will be in heaven. People that have never known about the good news of Jesus Christ and the finished work of salvation, that he saved them, but they just don't have the knowledge that they need. There's going to be people like them in heaven. And I tell you, we need to pray for them, right? We need to pray for those children of God in other countries that don't have the privilege of the gospel, that don't have the word of God, that don't have the knowledge that we have. Lord, open doors for us to preach the gospel to them. But Lord, there's many of them we won't be able to touch. There's many of them we won't be able to help. And there's so many people in other countries that have such a lower standard of living than we have in America that struggle so much. And I hope that burdens your heart. I hope that you see the blessings, the providential material blessings that we have in America, and not use the excess you have to go buy you another bass boat. Use the excess you have to help the all saints that are in other places that are struggling so much more than we are. But even if we can't help them financially, if we can't help them materially, I tell you what we can do. We can pray for them. Pray for all saints. Pray for all saints. And this gives us a kingdom mindset in our prayer. And that's what we want to consider next time, continuing on through verses 19 and 20, that Paul says, you need to pray and pray for all saints, but not just all saints in general. He says in verse 19, and pray for me, pray for the ministry, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. This tells us that we need to have a kingdom mindset in our prayers. We need to be praying for God to open doors of the gospel. We need to be praying for all saints, all children of God everywhere, and for the kingdom to be advanced and for the kingdom to grow. And we hope to consider that next time on the program. So watch and pray, kindred, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Be vigilant. Have your head on a swivel and maintain that communication with headquarters. Maintain that communication with the captain of our salvation. And that is vitally important. Communication is one of the most important aspects of any area of life, but especially in the battlefield of our warfare of faith. Communication with our captain, communication with our fellow believers, with our fellow enlisted soldiers is vitally important. And that connection point is prayer. So put on the mind of prayer. Let's pray without ceasing. Let's petition God to bless us in the midst of our warfare. And again, we'll hope to consider a specific aspect of those prayers that we need to be engaged in next time, which is praying for the advancement and the growth of God's kingdom. Put on that armor, pray without ceasing today. Till we have a chance to be with you here on the program again, we pray God will richly bless you. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. God bless.